This morning I want to begin a series of messages, well, just three in fact, that have to do with the season. That is a time that we observe the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you this morning about how he came to live among us. He was and is Emmanuel. Next Sunday, I plan to bring a message on how he lived among us. The Bible presents that in many scriptures. And then, on the Sunday before Christmas, I want to preach on why he came and lived among us, his purpose. So this morning, let's look at how he came to live among us and why he is called Emmanuel. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, we read these words. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. I know there's a lot of controversy about when Jesus was born and whether it was in the spring, whether it was in the December of our calendar, but it really makes no difference, the date of his birth. What makes what he came and did effective is the fact that he came. One of the illustrations that I've used many times, and I'm not too big on illustrations except the ones that come from the Word of God, but it opened up a train of thought for me that I believe will help us understand how he came to live among us. A farmer was plowing and getting his field ready to plant, and at noon he stopped his team and sat down under a large tree that was in the center of the field and began to eat his lunch. And as he was eating, he looked down and saw a number of ants that were gathering around a crumb of bread that had fallen from his meal. And he saw them as they struggled with it, as they moved about with it, and then many of them helping one another was carrying it to the place where they would feed their young. And this man thought about it. You know, I have so much bread, and these creatures need food for themselves and their young, so I'll help them. So he began to reach down and crumble bread, and when he did, the ants fled. And he thought to himself, if only I could communicate with these ants and tell them that I can help them, that I will give them food now and later I'll take care of them if they can just get over being afraid of me. I can't talk to them. I don't know how I can communicate with them. And then it occurred to him that the only way that he could possibly convey his concern for them was not by shouting from his perch above them, or even writing. I don't think ants know how to read. But how could they interpret? And finally, he decided the only way for them to ever know about me and my intentions is for me to become an ant. And that's why Jesus became a man, so that he could live among us and he could teach us about God and who he is and how he cares for us and how he will bear our burdens and how he will feed us on spiritual truth and how he will be with us. Now, we had had the Bible, don't misunderstand me, we had had the Old Testament, But all of that was in preparation. That is, the Mosaic system was in preparation for the coming of a man who could live among us, and he would be tempted and tested in all the ways that we're tempted and tested, and that he then could be a sympathetic advocate, that he could be an understanding comforter, and that he would be prepared to judge us at the judgment day. Because without having lived among us, then he would not know how to judge us. And it's plainly stated in Scripture that all judgment is given to the Son. So whether we're saved or whether we're lost, someday we will be judged by Jesus Christ. How did Jesus come to live among us? How did God send him to us? Well, he was not created in the heavens, though God could have done that, because he created us on the earth. He could have created him a mature and glorious person. He could have prepared for his Son a body in heaven. And he could have sent the angels to bring him to earth. And he could have walked among us in all of the glory of a created creature of God Almighty. But how shocking that would have been for an individual, full grown, to have begun to walk around the cities of Judea saying, "I am God's Son." He wouldn't have lasted even a few months until he would have been stoned to death. And so it pleased God in his wisdom to prepare a way for Jesus to become a human. And the Bible tells us how that occurred. It states when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, and that's matchmaking. The Jewish people, even today, many times have a matchmaker who brings about a certain couple meeting one another and then having what we would call a long engagement period of 10 to 12 months. So Mary was espoused to Joseph. No doubt the arrangements had been made by a marriage maker, which is an office within the Jewish faith. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, that simply means that he was a man who had been justified in the eyes of God by his faith, and not willing to make her a public example, that is, to hold her up to humiliation and embarrassment, was minded to put her away privately, that is, quietly. Had Joseph, in having this information revealed to him, told the elders of the congregation, it's possible that Mary could have been stoned to death. And this is something that Joseph had on his mind. He thought about it. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now this had not been without prophecy. That is, it had been prophesied in the Old Testament that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son. And therefore, though it had not been written many times and in different ways, it had been prophesied. And sometimes we get the idea that God will send us a message so loud and clear that he will shout it from the heavens, that he will impress us until we are overwhelmed and we're unable to turn away from whatever announcement he chooses to make. But God has chosen to make many announcements concerning the future in a quiet and very unassuming way. Just a sentence in the scriptures. Just a prophet making a statement such as Isaiah did. And you say, well, couldn't God do better than that? I'm not going to question God's wisdom and God's will. My point is this: you need to listen to what your heart tells you. And you need to listen to what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And you need to listen to what the Scriptures say to you. And don't be like an untrained child who has to have his parents repeat over and over and shout at him, I told you to do this and you wouldn't do it. You better do this or I'm going to get you. In my study of God's Word, God doesn't just keep on hollering at us. Because after all, he's God. Why should God have to speak 1,000 times? When he can speak his will in a single sentence? You say, well, if God would just rail at me, if God would just fuss at me, if God would just argue with me, then I might respond to what God has to say. But that's not God's way. There will be that constant reminder in your heart and a constant reminder in your soul that you need to listen to God. So Joseph listened to God. And he said that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now we see how he came to live among us, Emmanuel. Because in chapter 2 and verse 1 it is stated, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So what God told Joseph when Joseph was thinking about not following the marriage maker's work and marrying Mary, when he was thinking about how can we hide this quietly, how can I get out of this contract, really was what he was talking, because it was a contract. Well, he knew, if they knew that Mary was with child, that voided the contract right then. But Joseph was told by the Holy Ghost not to do this, that Mary would bring forth a son and they were to name him Jesus, which is Jesus, which is a form of Joshua. So I suppose we could refer to him as Joshua, and yet the Word teaches us his name. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying. Here's how Jesus came to live among us. This is God's plan. This is God's way. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. It's odd. At least it does not follow the normal pattern of the world. That Joseph was a just man, but he was just a man. He was not the son of a king. He had no wealth, perhaps very little formal training. He had a trade, which every Jewish boy had to have, and usually before he was wed. And I guess you would say they're just two common, ordinary, poor people who lived on this earth. Mary was not wealthy. I don't know whether she was beautiful or not. I don't know that Joseph was handsome. They might not have been prom king and queen. But that's how God works many times, is to choose the ordinary. And sometime to choose the weak. And sometime to call the confused. And the people we would never vote into being the mother of Jesus. Because God knows we're human. But then I think God sees something in us. I know He does. Of which we ourselves may not be aware. I don't know that Joseph had ever thought, after having the marriage arranged, I don't think Joseph ever even thought of Mary being with child before they were wed. I think he trusted her. I think he loved her. But when confronted with this sin for which people could be stoned to death, just by his human understanding, Joseph's faith was shaken. Then God, in a vision, a dream, gave him some information that made Joseph a loving husband who cared for Mary in her pregnancy, who understood who it was that would be born that day. It was God among us. If you have seen me, Jesus said, you have seen the Father. Because Jesus possessed every attribute of Almighty God, even to the power of God, which he refused to use, even to the saving of his life, but submitted himself to the will of the Father, whom had sent him into the world as an infant, who entered this life the way you and I entered this life, who grew in wisdom and stature, and who in the fullness of time revealed himself to the nation of Israel as the promised one. He lived among us. And this is how he came to be among us. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ.